From John's Gospel, the 8th chapter, verses 12 through 20. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Then the Pharisees said to him, "You are testifying on your own behalf. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, because I know where I have come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I have come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is valid. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is valid. I testify on my own behalf, and the Father who sent me testifies on my behalf." Then they said to him, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while he was teaching in the treasury of the temple. But no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want you to help me out by filling in the blanks. I'm going to give you a couple of sentences. And I'll have you to fill in the blank. It's dark in here. Could someone please turn on a light? I didn't know how messy it was in here until you turned on the light. I hope there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. We'll leave the light on for you. Could someone shed some light on the subject? When you walk in, you just light up the place. We read by the light of the candles. Please leave the light on the back porch. I believe God has ever yet more light to shine forth from His holy word. Edison would have loved the new light bulb law. Yeah, could have sold a whole lot more light bulbs. The word light is used in so many different ways. Today we're going to be talking about how Jesus used the word light to talk about who he was. We're in the midst of this series of the I Am sayings of Jesus. Today Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." In order to better understand what Jesus is saying about himself, it's helpful to know the context of this particular scripture. It's located during the time of the Festival of Booths, one of the great festivals in which people went to Jerusalem every year to celebrate the Festival of Booths or the Feast of Tabernacles. It was to remember a significant time in their history when they were going through the wilderness. They were being led by God, and here's how God led them. By day, he led them by a pillar of cloud. By night, he led them with a pillar of fire. And they would always go as soon as the cloud was lifted up or the pillar of fire was lifted up. They would go. Throughout the wilderness, God led them. But along the way, they had to stop. And when they would stop, they would make temporary places to stay, these little booths or little tabernacles. If you could imagine a glorified treehouse or something like that, they would make a little booth or a little something that the family could stay in. And then they'd take it all down and pack it up, and they'd continue to go. They were traveling, and so they had these temporary little shelters called booths or tabernacles. And God wanted his people to remember those times in the wilderness when they were led by him and when they experienced life in those temporary tabernacles or booths. He wanted them to remember that. And so he established the Festival of Booths. It's 7 days. The festival is 7 days. And during this time, everyone builds again these little booths or these little tabernacles, temporary shelters, and they live in them again. And they have a wonderful celebration. Well, it was during this time that they were having the Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Booths in Jerusalem, a wonderful 7 days. But there was one particular night that was very special. It was called the Light of the Grand Illumination, in which they took torches and placed them in the temple court there, And they were so bright that it was said that almost all of Jerusalem was lit up by this bright light. The night of the grand illumination. In other words, the great light to remind them of God's presence and God's guidance in their life. It was on this particular occasion that Jesus stood up and said, "I am the light of the world." You see, when they arrived into the promised land, there was no more pillar of cloud by day. There was no pillar of fire by night. They were in the promised land. But their journey was not over. Indeed, life itself is a journey that continues. We have stopping places along the way, but they're not staying places. God is continuing to lead us and to guide us. And so what Jesus was saying is that I am that light. I am the light of the world. And because your journey continues, you can trust in my light to guide you. There's a wonderful hymn, "Christ is the world's light, Christ and none other. Born in our darkness, he became our brother. If you have seen him, you have seen the Father. Glory to God on high." So what Jesus is doing is he is saying that life continues. And he will be that light for you and for me, for his people, always. There are basically three metaphors for life. The first one is the treadmill. Some of us are familiar with treadmills. You get on them and you work really hard, but you don't really go very far. You might get a good workout, but treadmills don't take you very far. It's just one constant thing after another, after another, after another, after another. And for many people, that's what life is like, a treadmill. The second metaphor is the epic story. Now, epic story is about heroes that go off and they fight battles. They win some, they lose some. They have a story that's being told of accomplishments, of defeats, and hopefully they have more accomplishments than defeats. It's a constant story of interacting and encountering different problems and overcoming them. But then it's over. Well, for a lot of people, that's what life is like. I had a lot of accomplishments. I had some defeats. And I guess that's all that it's about. It's about this epic story that you go off and you accomplish as much as you can. You have some defeats and then it's over. That's it. But the third metaphor is the metaphor that's true to life. It's the metaphor of journey. It's the metaphor in particular of the pilgrimage journey. Life is going somewhere and has an ultimate destiny. We do in life and on this journey have stopping places, but they're not staying places. Along this journey, we do have challenges. We do have encounters, and sometimes we have tremendous successes and sometimes tremendous failures. But all along the way, we have these moments of transcendence when we know that this is not all there is, that there is some guiding light in our life leading us on always with hope and confidence. And so a pilgrimage journey is different. When you're on a pilgrimage journey, you know that somehow or another, there are these points of contact with the holy. God is involved in your life and in my life and in the life of the world. And so what Jesus is saying is that life is a pilgrimage journey. And I am that light for your pilgrimage journey. I'd like for you to think about how Jesus is your light. Now, in our Lenten study, many of you are doing our Lenten study of the I Am sayings. And this particular week had a practice that I think that is really good to suggest doing. And it has to do with lighting a candle. Finding a time, preferably at night, but it can be any time. But finding a time when you can turn the lights out and just light a candle. And sitting there in the presence of this candle, remind yourself that that light is a reminder of God's presence that's with you always. Rest in that thought for a while. Allow your thoughts to center down. And then begin to think about in terms of how God's presence and light in your life has been a blessing to you in days past. And lift up some blessings. Lift up some thanksgivings. And that will always put you in the proper mind of being able to worship. And then spend some time just in quietness looking at the light as again your mind calms down. And then I want you to think about this. What does a light do? One of the things that a light does is it reveals things. You remember that sentence? I didn't know how messy it was in here until somebody turned the light on. Well, in the presence of Christ, the Holy One, we're in the presence of holiness, of true light. And during this time of devotion, we need to ask Him, will you reveal anything in me that needs to change? Will you reveal anything in me I need to let go? Will you reveal to me those attitudes I need to change? Maybe the blind spots in my life I'm unaware of. We can allow His light to shine upon us and reveal these things because we know, first of all, He loves us and accepts us and wants the best for us. You know, the closer we get to Jesus, the more we make ourselves available for Him to reveal things to us. Why? Not because we're trying to earn His love, but because we want to be able to respond with gratitude. And by continuing to walk in the light, not in darkness. And so that's the first thing to think about. What is it that this light of Christ is revealing in our life? Meditate upon that. Second thing that a light does is a light guides. The other night, we were going out to walk our dog, and normally we just go out and walk our dog around the neighborhood, but on this particular night, there was a lot of black ice, and we knew that was very, very dangerous. So we had a very good flashlight, and I was in charge of the flashlight. And so we were allowing that flashlight to guide us around our neighborhood. We knew our neighborhood, but we really needed guidance that night. And so it was a blessing to us to have the light before us on our path. How is God leading you, guiding you? You know, sometimes we don't need to know so much where will the path end. We don't need to know so much where is all of this going to take us. Sometimes we just need to know, what is that next step that I need to take in my life? What is that next step? And that's what a flashlight provides for you. Because you don't shine it way out there, you shine it right in front of you. And so you can see the next step that you can safely take. So ask yourself, Lord, how are you guiding me? Where would you like for me to go? Who would you like me to be? What would you like for me to do? Is there any guidance from you about my life this day? Constantly lifting that up is a practice that will reap many dividends because you're constantly turning over your thoughts towards God, asking for guidance. The third thing that a light does is a light instructs. You know, Jesus has ever yet more things to show us and to teach us. And we have so much to learn. And so we can come to Christ and let Him be our light of instruction. One of the things that would be helpful to do sometimes is think about a situation in your life. It may be a difficult situation or just some situation that you need some answers on. What would be the most loving thing to do in this situation? What would be the most faithful thing that you could do in a particular situation to bring glory to God? Bring before the Lord a particular situation and allow Him to instruct you about, well, what would it look like to live lovingly and faithfully in that situation? Instruction, a light brings that awareness. We don't know everything. We humble ourselves and we come before His Word saying, teach me, show me. When you come to read the Scriptures or study the Scriptures, acknowledge that His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We are continuing to learn and to be instructed. The Hebrews said that the blessing of an old age is this, is that a person had years and years and years and years to be instructed by the Torah, to spend time with God's holy word and His precepts. What a blessing. What a wonderful way to think of life. That the longer we live, the longer we get to spend with God's word to receive instruction and understanding and insight. We never know it all, but we're always in the process of learning. And then the last thing that a light does is a light overcomes darkness. In our world today, you cannot listen to the reports without feeling that there's darkness in our world. But some of you know that there's a lot of darkness in your life. There's a heaviness that we carry with us each and every day for various reasons. All of us in some sort of way have experienced darkness. But what does a light do? A light shines in the darkness. And what does the Gospel of John say in the first chapter? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not put it out. We are to remind ourselves that the light of Christ really is, Christ really is the world's light. And that ultimately goodness will prevail. Ultimately love will prevail. Ultimately it is God whose sovereignty will prevail. And though we may face tough times, turn on the light. What does it do? It gives you a sense of hope and inspiration. You know, I love those times in our church for a Christmas Eve communion candlelight service when we turn the lights out and we have our candles and we just look around and we see that. And I begin to think about, wow, that's so inspiring. You know, sometimes it's on the darkest night that the stars shine their brightest. Christ's light is always shining in our world. But do we turn our eyes towards Him so that we may see that light? When we do, we find the grace, we find the strength, we find the inspiration to live our lives faithfully for Him. You see, evil, death, all the negative things that we come up against, they don't have the last word. And you know, the worst thing that can ever happen in life is never the last thing. Because the last thing is God's word of life. We're in the Lenten season and we're going to the time of Easter when we celebrate resurrection. We are a resurrection people. We live in a Good Friday world, but we are an Easter people. We believe that life the life of Christ overcomes death. The light of Christ overcomes darkness for the world and for ourselves. So I don't know about you, but we need to find ways in which we can practice the presence of Christ in our life. Christ is our light. He is the light of the world. Perhaps lighting a candle might be one way. An interesting thing about light is this. A light helps us to see things differently. As Christians, we do see things differently. Only we who gather here today would take a look at this bread, this loaf, and this cup of juice. Only we who are gathered here today would take a look at simple bread and simple juice and say the body and blood of Christ. But because of the light of Christ, we come to this table today seeing something more than just physical things. We find these simple, ordinary things like bread and juice, but simple, ordinary things through which God ministers to us and speaks to us and provides for us. You see, we not only have light for our path, we have food for our journey. And we believe that we will receive everything that we have need of in order to live more faithful lives for Him who is always faithful for us. We shall not lack for grace. We shall not lack for forgiveness. We shall not lack for whatever it is that we need to live out a life of discipleship. Light is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Christ is the world's light, Christ and none other. Born in our darkness, He became our brother. If we have seen Him, we have seen the Father. To glory, to God be the glory on high. Christ invites to His table all those who earnestly love Him, who love Him and earnestly repent of their sins and seek to live in newness of life. Join me now in this time of Eucharist prayer. The living God is with us and with all creation. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the living God. Let us give thanks to the Creator of all. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to You, living God, who loves us with the faithful care of a father and mother. For this reason, we join with all creation to proclaim Your glory. Holy, holy, holy One, God of power, God of love, earth, sea, and sky are full of Your glory. With joy, we praise You. With joy, we praise You. Amen. And now, let us continue our prayer. Gracious God, pour out Your Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and juice, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. By Your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and Your holy church, all honor and glory is Yours, Father, now and forever. Amen. Do we have more on this to show? Let us now join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Do we have more to show? Yes. Okay. Let us pray. We praise You and we bless You, holy and gracious Creator, source of life. Your Spirit has always been with creation, guiding its development, calling forth life, infusing beauty, inspiring joy and love. In Your infinite love, You created us in Your image and allowed us to share in the precious gift of life. You gave us a home in this beautiful world to live in harmony with You, with one another, and with all Your creatures.
But we have so often turned from Your love and wisdom. We have chosen our own way and broken faith with You, our neighbors, and our fellow creatures. Now all around us we see the tragic harvest of the bitter seed we have sown.
Yet through it all, You have remained faithful to us. You graciously called us to turn from our destructive ways and return to You. You sent us prophets, priests, sages, storytellers, and poets to lead us to humble repentance and wisdom. In the fullness of time, through Mary, a humble woman full of faith, You sent Jesus into the world.
Living among us, Jesus loved us. In word and deed, He proclaimed the good news of Your reign. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners And in imitation of your perfect love, he taught us to love neighbor, stranger, outsider, and enemy. He redirected us from violence to peace, from fear to faith, from rivalry to mutual service, and from worry and greed to generosity and joy.
On the night before he showed us the full extent of his love, Jesus took a loaf of bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." As supper was ending, he took a cup of wine. Again, he gave thanks and gave it to his friends, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink this cup, remember me." Holy God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, on these gifts of bread and juice, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet.
Now gathered as one family around this table of joyful reconciliation and fellowship, united in your Spirit, we receive these gifts and we gratefully offer our lives as a living sacrifice. As Christ stretched out his arms upon the cross to welcome the whole world into your gracious embrace, we rejoice to enter that embrace with you, extend it to all, through Christ and with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to the living God be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. Amen.